So we're on a series about Abraham. I don't know if you all are enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. I just really didn't realize how much, can we dim the lights? I just like to be able to see your faces. So I didn't realize how much, until you really slow down and read the story and try and grasp the story, sometimes we read through the Bible so quickly that we miss the important things. We miss some of the things that really are amazing. So Abraham, we've read about Abraham our whole, if you've been a Christian for a while, you've heard the story of Abraham. We sang Father Abraham. We did the actions, you know, Father Abraham, you know. But so many times we read over the story so fast, we miss that he was a human like you and me. That he had doubts, that he had fears, that he disobeyed, that he had to learn sometimes the hard way, that he had to go through stuff, that obedience cost him things, that he was a man. But the beautiful thing is, he went from being a man, as we started talking about the first week, who was born into a culture that was so ungodly as far as the God of our world, right? There were so many gods. They were polytheistic. They had gods for everything. They sacrificed kids to God. They did all kinds of just crazy things. And God spoke to him in that culture and said, come out from the culture. And he did, sort of. Right? We talked about how he came to Haran with his dad. Actually, his dad took him to Haran. He stopped there and he waited until his dad died. So I want to just not do a big review today, but I want to just kind of go through the story and continue with it slowly. So I'm going to start with Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 12. And it says, by an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. That's amazing. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him, lived as a stranger camping in tents. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Abraham did it by keeping his eyes on an unseen city with real, eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. By faith, barren Sarah was able to become pregnant, old as she was at the time, because she believed the one who had made a promise would do what he said. That's how it happened, that from one man's dead and shriveled loins, there are now people numbering into the millions. And we know that. We see Israel every day in the news. These are Abraham's people. And we see them every day. And his other side of the family, we see them fighting each other all the time. So Abraham's son Ishmael and Abraham's son Isaac, they fight. So we see this, and they've grown to be a great number. And this is what was really written in the Heroes Hall of Faith, the Biblical Heroes Hall of Faith about Abraham. And this is the wrap-up, really, of their life. But I always want us to remember this. It didn't end in the end of Revelations where it says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That was not the end of the story. We're still writing the story today in Hebrews 11, verse 40, it says this, God had a better plan for us. That's me and you, the ones who are still walking out this life in this world, that their faith, that's the faith of all these people that were written about in Hebrews 11, and our faith would come together to make one complete whole. Their lives and faith, lives of faith not complete apart from us. So we're running in this race with them. We're fighting this fight with them, and unless we do what we're called to do, what God has called us to do, their life is not complete either. So we have a responsibility to the people of the past to really carry on the faith and keep walking with God. Last time we saw how Abraham did say yes to God. He said yes to God. He left Ur of the Chaldees and moved to Haran, but he wanted to do it on his own terms, because the Bible said, leave your land, right? And leave your father's house and go. And here he was in Haran, which was still in the Chaldees, and he was still with his dad and with his nephew. He had moved toward the promised land, 500 miles toward it. He was still 300 miles out. But he had sort of gone God's way, but on his own terms. And we talked about how we do that sometimes and how we want to do God's will our way. And what God's really called us to do is to do his will his way. And he called to Abraham. And this is where it goes on. So last time, his father passed away. And here's where we find God speaking to Abraham again. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 32, it says, in the days of Terah, that was Abraham's father, were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And Jehovah said to Abram, go out of your country, again he's saying this, and from your kindred, and from your father's house into the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you and curse the ones who curses you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Abraham departed, even as Jehovah had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I think that we could have a lot of confidence when we read God's word. When we think about what God said to Abraham in that day. He said, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. And I'm going to make your name great. When we think about Abraham, if we think about the life of Abraham, and we think about what residue is left of his life, I don't think, other than Jesus, there's another person that ever walked the face of the earth that was as famous as Abraham. Abraham's the father of three different religions, right? He's the father of the Muslim. He's the father of the Jew. He's the father of the Christian faith. All those people know Abraham as a father. God blessed him and made his name great. God made him a blessing. I mean, if we look around the world today, so much of the wealth of the world is in the hands of the people of Abraham. They have the wealth. They can be a blessing. And we know that if we obey God, God will keep true to his word for us too. We can trust him. We can rely on him. So it seems that Terah's death was a point at which God knew that Abraham would listen again. Because at Terah's death, we find God speaking to Abraham again and saying, Abraham, let's go. And Abraham went. Abraham moved along, stepped out in obedience, almost did anyway. He didn't completely step in obedience because he still took Lot with him. Right? God said, leave your land and leave your father's house. And really, Lot became a big problem for Abraham along the way. If he would obey God, it would have been an easier trip for him. But he though, stepped out in obedience. I really want to take time to go through this story and think about the journey that Abraham was taking into an intimate relationship with God. Because really, that's what it is for all of us, right? It's not just saying yes to going to church. It's not just checking another box. It's coming to know God in a personal way, knowing Jesus as our Savior and Lord, having him become a big part, the biggest part of our life. It's learning to trust him and obey him. You know, we used to sing that old song, trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And it's true. This trip we're taking, this journey we're on, is about learning to have an intimate relationship with God, to trust him completely. Because really, trust equals intimacy, right? When you trust someone, you could be intimate with them. When you don't trust someone, you're never going to share your life with them. You're never really going to give your life for them or with them. You're just not going to, because you don't trust. But trust and intimacy go hand in hand. So the question I want to pose today, really for this moment, for you to think about for a while, is this. What, who or what has to die before you will step out in obedience and follow what God's asked you to do? There's some things in our life that we hold on to, like Abraham did. It seemed like he was waiting to get out of the reach of his father so he could really obey God. It seemed like he was dependent on his father more than he was dependent on God. But when Terah died, he decided to move out and trust for God. So what or who has to die for you to do what God is asking you to do? Maybe it's a grudge that you've held on to. Maybe there's something you really just need to let go of. Like you have some big unforgiveness in your heart and you just need to let it go. letting it go doesn't mean that you've, it's okay that the person did it, but letting it go sets you free to follow God. Maybe it's you need to cut the apron strings from your family and the way they've always done things. Maybe it's time for you to be a grown-up man or woman and really just follow God for yourself. Do what God's asked you to do for yourself. Maybe you need to stop depending on wealth or work addiction to meet all your needs, and you need to trust God and what He's calling you to do and what He's calling you to step out in. Maybe we need to ask God to let him tell us what we need to let go of. So I think if you think about Abraham back in Haran, he probably thought he was doing okay. He was moving in the right direction. And he probably wasn't fully aware that his father was probably what was holding him back. So if we ask God, the Bible said we lack wisdom, we could ask God who's faithful, and He'll give us wisdom, and He won't play favorites. He'll give us the wisdom we ask for. Maybe you've been sitting in this church for the last week or month or 2 months or maybe your whole life. And the next step that you really need to make is just to commit your life to Christ, to say yes to Him, to say, I want to follow Him. Maybe that's the next thing for you to do. Maybe that's what you need to give into and be obedient to, is the call of God on your life to follow Him and serve Him. This morning, I just challenge you, if that's you, to do that, to step out and to follow Him. So today I just want to look at this step that Abraham made. Abraham made a step of obedience. And this is my first point. It's a short trip into the place God has for you once you obey. We read in this scripture, right, in verse 4, we read that Abraham departed, even as Jehovah had spoken to him and Lot with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And then it goes on and says, and Abraham took Sarah his wife, Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gained in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into the land of Canaan. It's one verse. And they were in the land of Canaan. It wasn't that long of a journey once they obeyed. There are times when in our lives where we feel frustrated but safe, right? There's times where we feel comfortable but on edge, settled but not satisfied. And God is calling us to come further with Him in our life. Sometimes we have reached a place where we feel safe. How many of you have ever had that? Where you just feel comfortable, but you know you're not where you should be. You don't really feel like taking the extra step. You don't really want to make that move and really do exactly what God's called you to. But I'm doing okay, God. I'm good here. I feel comfortable. I don't feel stretched. God's calling us to go further with Him, just as He did to Abraham. But until we step out in obedience and do His will, His way, we're always going to be stuck in Haran. We're always going to be stuck in that place of almost, that place of being safe but not satisfied, that place of being, you know, comfortable but not at peace with ourselves and with God. God's calling you. I'm telling you, there's no one in this room, I don't care if you're, you know, 8 or 85, God still has something left for you to do. God still has something He wants from you, and He wants to call you all the time. If you've got comfortable and you're not doing something new and you're not really feeling God pulling you, I just say, get on your knees and pray. Because God has something more for you. God has something far greater for you. We have to do His will, His way, with the intention of carrying it through to its conclusion. Then if we won't do that, we'll never get there. But a step of obedience in God and to God, and then another and another, and before you know it, you're at the door of the promised land. So here's what I know. I'm making this sound really easy. That as soon as you obey God, it's going to be easy. I want you to think about Abraham again. Put your feet in his sandals for a while. He's got like thousands of flocks, like sheep. I think he has some goats. I think he probably has some cattle. It says he has all these people, these servants and these slaves. He has a wife. He's got a nephew. Every day he's got to break camp, right? They got to take all that, pack it up again, move it along, right? You ever see the, oh, I remember when we were kids, we watched shows like Bonanza or Little House on the Prairie and that, and when they were moving cattle, it always looked pretty hard. But these were thousands of animals that Abraham was moving every day. And he was moving his wife every day. That's hard, right? Had to pack every day. Had to set up camp every night. Had to find food for the sheep and water for the sheep. And had to break up the fights and had to settle the arguments between people because they argue, right? Can you imagine if you have 10 people traveling together on a hard ride, working hard all day, packing, getting up early, going to bed late, and not have fights? Can you imagine that? Didn't happen. Obedience is still hard. Just because you obey doesn't mean everything's going to go your way and it's going to be simple. It's not. It's not. We have to settle into the idea that when we obey God, there's work involved. There's things involved that we need to do and we need to carry through on. Take the challenge. Live hard for God. It's simple to obey God, but it's also hard. It's always simple, but never easy. Here's the scripture. I think this scripture is a great example of a scripture that's simple, but hard. It's found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. Never let yourself think that you're wiser than you are. Simply obey the Lord and refuse to do wrong. If you do, it will be like good medicine, healing your wounds and easing your pain. That's hard. Never trust in what you think you know. I always trust in what I think I know. Like, I don't know, it's hard. It's hard for me to stop and ask God what I should do next when I think he's given me a brain and I should be able to figure it out myself. It's hard to do these things. It's simple, but we have to train ourselves to do it. We have to learn. I don't know, when I was a kid, we farmed, so we had hay wagons. You know, have you ever tried to back up a hay wagon? Yeah? So you turn one way, you think the wagon should go, and your mind is telling you to turn the other way, and you turn, and then your tractor tire's stuck against the wagon, and you can't move, and you got to stop, and you got to tell yourself, this is what I need to do, and then you got to fight your mind to do it, because it doesn't seem like it should work, right? It's hard. Some things are hard. You got to think them through, and it's like that with trusting God. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes to our own natural mind, what God asks us to do doesn't make sense. And we need to just focus and we need to do it God's way. Because after a while, when you backed up a hay wagon a few times, it becomes a natural thing. And you know exactly which way to turn because you've learned and trusted in that what you do works. It's the same thing with Scripture. You learn to trust it. You learn to hear God's voice and trust. And as you do it more and more and more, it becomes a natural thing. I think about the idea of tithing for a new believer. It doesn't make sense, people. I'm sorry, it doesn't. Give away one-tenth and you'll be better off. Right? It doesn't make sense, but we know, those of us who have walked with the Lord for a long time, know that if we give the tenth, God blesses the rest. And we have more than what we would have had. It works. God's word works. And the Bible actually says this in Malachi 3, verse 10. Because God knows how we think. He said, the Lord all-powerful says, try this test. In the King James Version, it says, test me in this, says the Lord. Right? Because he knows this doesn't make sense. So try it. Bring one-tenth of your things to me. Put them in the treasury. Bring food to my house. Test me. If you do these things, I will surely bless you. Good things will come to you like rain falling from the sky. You'll have more than enough of everything. It's not easy. I'm going to tell you, I don't know. It, you know, like I grew up as a kid. We got an allowance, I think, of like $2, I don't know, a month, a week. Not much. But I remember we were watching back in the day, we watched 700 Club. It was a big part of our life. And we wanted to just help with that. We wanted to bless that ministry as kids even. So we took, I think, like about half of our money every month and we sent it to the 700 Club. And we learned to tithe from our first check. You know, our parents taught us to tithe, to give one-tenth. So we've always had it as part of our budget. It's been a budget line item for me since I was a kid. It's never been hard because my budget was always including that. So I never bought the car I couldn't afford with that in the budget line. You get it? But for someone who's never known the Lord and they've lived a normal life, they got all this debt and they've got all these bills to pay and they got their house payments and they got, and then I think, well, how do they even fit that in? For me, it's easy to tithe. But I know for a new believer to say, I'm going to trust God, it's hard. But the Bible said, try me, see if I'll do it. And I know this. I know this from experience. If you do try, God will bless you in it. It's like that with a lot of truths in the Bible. We need to learn to trust what God's word says and walk it out. Trust and walk it out. I encourage you today to take a step of obedience to God in your whole life. If God's calling you today to just give your heart and life to him, take that step of obedience. If he's calling you today to forgive someone that you've held something against for a long time, I'm just challenging you today, give it to him, let it go. I'm challenging you today, just give God what he's asking for. Take that step of obedience. So the second thing I want to point out about this journey is when they got to the land of Canaan, Abraham built an altar to the Lord at Bethel. Bethel means house of God. But Abraham built an altar to the Lord. Abraham arrives in Canaan, their land of promise, with all that he has. And God speaks to him there and reminds him, Abraham, there's more to the promise. Sometimes we get partway to the promise and we say, well, good enough. But as soon as he stepped into the land, God reminded him, you know, I promise you this land, but I also promise you an inheritance. I promise you generations to come. I promise you offspring. I promise you that your name's going to be great and I'm going to bless you. So this is the beginning. And Abraham stopped and he made an altar to the Lord. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 8, he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the slaves and all other things he had gotten into the land of Haran. Then he and his group moved into the land of Canaan. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the town of Shechem and then to the big tree at Morah. The Canaanites were living in the land at the time. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I will give this land to your descendants. See, it's a promise, right? He said, I will give this land to your descendants. Abraham was already probably 76, maybe 75. It said he was 75 when he left Haran. I'm not sure how long it took, but he's 75. Sarah was already 65, I think, or 67. She was already up there in age. And he said, I'm going to give you a descendant. Well, she's never had a kid. He's never had a kid. So this is a big deal. I don't know about you, but when God reminds me of a promise that I haven't yet, you know, locked onto, it's a big deal to me. And God was reminding him again that I'm going to give you this land to your descendants. Abraham built an altar to honor the Lord who appeared to him there. I was just thinking of this as I was reading it right now. Sometimes we need to build an altar to honor God just because he promised it, not because we've already seen it. Sometimes faith means we give thanks before we see what we've got. And Abraham built an altar that day to him there. Then he left the place and traveled to the mountains east of Bethel. He set up his tent there, and Bethel was to the west and Ai to the east. And Abraham built another altar at that place to honor the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So God spoke again to Abraham in a culture that was really polytheistic. It was a culture that served many gods. And Abraham went into that culture. And before the people, it seems like, because he said the Canaanites were there in the land, and he made an altar. And Abraham set out right away in his culture that I worship one God, the true God. He built an altar to God there, and he said, I worship one God. So in this place, Abraham built an altar to the Lord to honor him in this new land and among this idolatrous people so that he could show his allegiance to God. In the first kind of reason that Abraham built an altar was to honor God. It says that right in here. Abraham, upon entering Canaan, was reminded again by God about why he was there in the first place. And that was because he was called, that he called him while he was living in a sinful way, in a sinful culture, to come apart and to obey God, to follow the true God. Again, think of the faith required. He was a successful man. He had it together. Everybody believed in many gods. He said, I'm going to believe in one God, and the pressure and the stuff that came against him. But he left everything. He went to this place, and God was calling him there to come apart and obey and do all that the true and living God asked him to do. He did it to really save him from a meaningless life is what he did. He wants to save us all from a meaningless life. I think one of the really cool things, and I think Abraham had to be thinking this, when God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing to many nations, he must have been looking at these people and saying, are these the people you've called me to be a blessing to? Are these the lands that you've called me to be a minister to? Are you going to use me to really help people see you here? I think he had to be thinking that. I really think that Abraham wanted to let this new people and this new culture know that he honored God and really wanted to go public with that honor. Nothing goes public as much as, you know, piling a big bunch of rocks together, throwing some wood on top of it, slapping a lamb on there and setting it on fire. It's a pretty big step for him to make. And you've got to think, he's the new guy in the neighborhood. He's obviously wealthy. He's come with a big group of people, a big group of animals. The neighbor's looking over the fence and saying, hidey-ho there, good neighbor. What you up to? What you cooking? And he's like, well, I'm not cooking. I'm making an offering to my God. And they're like, well, that's cool. What God? Because we have many, many gods. And Abraham said that thing again that got him in trouble back in Ur. This is to the only true God. This offering is for the true and only God. Isn't that the awkward moment for all of us when we have to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? There's no other way to the Father but by him. It's awkward. People think we're closed-minded, that we're bigots, that we hate people. I don't. Seriously, I love people. That's why I want to tell them about Jesus. And Abraham, in that culture, was saying, I worship the true God. And it set him aside, apart. It's an awkward moment, and we take some flack. Abraham did probably when he, but he, his desire was to honor God. What about you and me? Have we built an altar to honor God in our life, in our neighborhood, to stand out, to really be able to say that God is the true God, that we worship him and him alone? Have you created some awkwardness because you honor the true and living God, that you've had to say to some people, there's only one way, I'm sorry, I'm happy, because there is a way. Think about this, before Jesus, there was no way. We could beat ourselves, we could scratch ourselves with rocks, we could give our lives, we could do whatever we wanted. We could never be good enough. But because Jesus came, we became good enough because of his goodness. It's awkward, but it's really important. We need to be a witness in the world we live in. We need to serve God with our whole heart, with all our passion, with all our strength, with all our might. The Bible says, here's the next point. Abraham built an altar as a remembrance of his encounter with God. I believe this is so important, really, of our life with God. Because one of the things we'll find as we go further along in the story, that Abraham actually came back to this altar at Bethel. That after he had gone and traveled to Egypt and done his thing there, that he came back to Bethel and he remembered God in that place. We build altars sometimes of a remembrance of encounters with God. I think this is so important. There's moments in our lives and in the lives of all the heroes of the faith where they actually stopped and built an altar to God to remember. I love this story in Joshua. as they were coming up, and to go into the promised land, they had to cross the Jordan River. And as they were crossing, they were given instruction to gather one stone for each tribe and then to set up a monument in the middle of the river, or an altar in the middle of the river. And this is what it says in Joshua 4, verse 20 to 24. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan were raised by Joshua on Gilgal. And he spoke to the sons of Israel, saying, when your sons shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your sons know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For Jehovah your God dried up the waters of Jordan before them until you had passed over, even as Jehovah your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had gone over, so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of Jehovah is mighty, and so that you might fear Jehovah your God forever. It's a beautiful thing. I think when it's also when they celebrated Passover, they always, the question from the sons was, why? Why do we do this? Why do we celebrate this? There's just such an importance in remembering some key things and key moments in your life. It's really important because there are times in our lives, I think Pastor Peter talked about it last week, where God is speaking, God is speaking, God is speaking. And then there's times where God is quiet. And in those quiet times, we need to actually remember the goodness of God. I remember when I was 16 years old, I was standing in our old building in front of the sound booth by a window. And I was standing there and we were worshiping God, and God spoke the words into my ear that if you'll be faithful in that which is little, I'll make you ruler over that which is much. And I remember just thinking, God, thank you for the call. I don't understand it completely, but from that day on, I set my heart to faithfulness, to just doing what God told me to do when God told me to do it. And it's been, 33 years since that day. And still, many times I'll just stop, especially when my life is wandering, especially when I'm struggling, especially when there's times where I feel challenged, where I feel like maybe God's call wasn't real. Maybe I was just imagining it. And I'll go back to the basics of that call. And I'll just do some things to be faithful. I'll go serve. I'll go help someone. I'll go dig up some weeds from the garden. I'll go, you know, clean the bathroom, whatever. I'll just go serve. Just be faithful in the little things. And God always reminds me of the call. It's really important. I remember one year we went to youth camp. And we came back with the young people after the camp. And we had an evening service and we were worshiping the Lord. And the power of that night, the power really of God was so strong in the place that I was kneeling on my knees on the floor. And I just felt like if I moved, maybe I would die. It was the presence of God was so powerful to me that day. Levi was probably 2 years old, maybe three. And he knelt down beside me. And he said, Dad, what's going on? It feels weird here. And I was like, it was really powerful. And when I think about that moment, I just can sense the presence of God. Here's the thing I do know. I know this. That most people have had an encounter with God, especially if you've stepped out in obedience. Obedience usually leads to encounter. Whenever we trust God and follow God, we usually have an encounter with Him. And if we would take the time to remember the things that God spoke to us in those times, and take the time to remember who God is in our life, it will help us along the way. Abraham was a man. And Abraham was an example for us of how to walk in faith. And we're seeing these tiny steps, right, that he's making. It's the same steps that we need to make to walk out our life in faith. We have to start out with what Abraham did. Maybe he started out and launched out not quite right. He went with his daddy. He went with his nephew. He didn't quite get out of the land he was supposed to be in, but he moved toward God. And then he made another step toward God and came into the land. And then he had an encounter with God again and built an altar. And we're just going to keep walking through this story. It's a cool story, and we're going to grow in faith because of it. But this morning, I just want to pray for you. And I think we're just going to close with a prayer this morning. Because I really feel like some things we need to settle in our hearts for ourselves with God. We need to just stop and just let God speak to us in our own life. not necessarily to have someone lay hands on us or pray for us, but just sometimes just to hear the still small voice of God. So I'm just going to be silent here for a minute or two. Just ask God to speak, and then I'm just going to close it up in prayer. Lord, today I just ask, Lord, that as your people sitting here with heads bowed and eyes closed, Lord, that you'll speak to each one. Lord, if there's an area where they're stepping out in obedience, Lord, I pray that you'd encourage them in it. Lord, help them in the hard work of following you. Lord, for those that are, Lord, have been reluctant to really say yes to you, to obey you, Lord, I pray this morning that they would take a step of obedience and follow you today. And Lord, I pray that as people take steps of obedience, that there would be encounter with you, Lord, that their lives, Lord, would be touched by you, that their lives would be changed by you, Lord, that each one of us would come to know you more and more each day. I pray this in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray as we leave this place, Lord, that you would bless each one. Lord, that you would strengthen each one to walk out their life with you, your will, your way. Lord, I pray that you'll give each one opportunities this week to share your love and your goodness with others. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.